Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Ladies Leadership Circle in partnership with Phoenix Business Radio, where we are live from the Business Radio X studio in the East Valley and brought to you by the women who lived it. I'm your host, Joanne Holland, along with my co-host, Karen Nowicki. And we are so excited to have the leadership and women of the YWCA joining us today, and Dr. Jan Elsie and Dr. Regina Edwards. So ladies, I'm going to ask Jan to introduce yourself first, and then we'll ask Regina to introduce herself. So please share a little bit about yourself.
First, thank you for having us. This is very exciting because I've never been on a radio program that women owned. I've only been on one owned by white guys.
Love it.
So my name is Dr. Jan Elsie. I am the president of a company called Communication Skills, and we help people communicate more effectively, particularly in the public speaking arena. I am, like Karen, the queen of reinvention. I started as a professor at ASU, and after nearly dying on the operating table, I woke up and said, is that all there is? And I never went back to the university. I was a tenured professor who gave it all up, went to Washington, D.C., and founded this company. I was there for 10 years and then moved it back to the Valley. And now I'm doing a lot of pro bono work, because I just turned 75 and it was time to retire.
Wow, you look fantastic. If I can look half as good, Karen, I'm going to be a happy woman.
I never would have guessed that.
Thank you.
Yes. So thank you. And thank you for joining us today. We're excited to have you here. And Regina, please share a little bit about yourself and who you are.
Great. Thank you, Joanne and Karen, for hosting us. We are thrilled to be here representing the YWCA. I have the great honor and privilege of being the CEO of the YWCA here in Metropolitan Phoenix. And my background actually is in higher education. I spent 25 years at colleges and universities across the Valley, ASU, and the community colleges, as well as several privates, and was on the board of the YWCA actually many years ago. And then had an opportunity to come back and serve in a staff capacity. So I've been the CEO for almost 5 years.
Wow, fantastic. And if you'll share too a little bit about the mission and the history of the YWCA, both nationally in the United States as well as locally.
So the YWCA is an amazing organization. If you don't know, we have actually been here in the United States since the late 1800s. And we have been here in Arizona for 105 years. Our mission of the YWCA across the world, across the country, and here is to eliminate racism and empower women. And that's a big, bold, huge mission. And we'll have the opportunity, I'm sure, later to talk about how we live out the mission every day. There are over 200 YWCAs across the United States.
Wow.
And what is amazing and unique is that each YWCA, whether they're here in Phoenix, Arizona, or our sister in Tucson, or in Grand Island, Nebraska, or Houston, Texas, we each live out the mission in a little different way. So the programs of the YWCA are wide and diverse, and they range from domestic violence shelters to teen justice, social justice programs. Some YWCAs have child cares. Some harken back to the days of our beginnings and still do all kinds of housing, transitional housing, as well as low-income housing. The programs are just amazing. And that's one of the unique features of the YWCA that I really think sets us apart in today's world.
Wow, that's amazing. And Jan, you've been in Phoenix or the Phoenix metropolitan area for
decades.
Let's just leave it at that.
Multiple decades. So you've seen change within the YWCA and your involvement?
Well, that's really a good question because, as Regina suggested, we diversify our programs according to the needs of the community that we're in. And that's what first attracted me in the 80s to join the board of the YWCA, was because at the time we were offering the first shelter for women, abused women, where they could stay for a period of time, get back on their feet. We called it Haven House.
Oh, I remember House. Yeah.
And a few years ago, we transitioned the Haven House over to You Mom.
Yes.
And they now have part of, I guess, our programs to mm-hmm. continue. So I call this YWCA the little engine that does.
I love it.
That's great.
And Regina can give you more of the statistics, but for instance, we are the only provider of Meals on Wheels in the West Valley. Last year, we made over what?
100,000.
100,000 meals.
Fantastic.
Wow. And without you, how many would go without? Yeah.
We serve, between the Meals on Wheels and the dining room, we serve about 1,200 people in the West Valley, specifically Glendale and El Mirage.
Wow. That's amazing. So obviously unique nature of services and programs. Maybe you want to talk to us about a couple of those, Regina?
Oh, definitely. We are one of the, I like to call us the premier providers of financial education for women and their families across the valley. We have a comprehensive financial education program that's unique in several ways. We're unique in that we collaborate with the community serving other nonprofits and organizations, and we do it at no cost. So what that looks like is we come into another nonprofit. So let's say it's a transitional housing program or a domestic violence shelter, or perhaps it's a program that focuses on workforce development. We meet with the nonprofit and their staff and talk to them about where in the continuum of services do women need financial education. And it's different for every organization and every person. Then we come in and provide that comprehensive education around women and their finances and their families, which then allows that nonprofit to really focus on their core mission. And we're bringing in the financial education piece. The other aspect that's unique is we're one of 18 organizations part of United Way's Financial Stability Coalition. And the third way is that we do a very comprehensive tracking. We use a comprehensive tool that's through United Way that allows us and other agencies to really focus on, are we making a difference? So what does that mean? It means that we know because of our tracking, following up with our students, that over 75% of our clients followed and were able to achieve their goals.
Oh,
now,
wow.
their goals can be really diverse. And that's one of the other unique pieces. It's not a cookie cutter program. So my goal is if I'm in that situation might be, I want to save $10 a month. Someone else's goal may be, I want to cut my credit card debt. Someone else may want to improve their credit score. So all of those things wrapped up make our Own It is the name of it, financial education program, really unique. Last year, we touched over 500 women and their families and worked with over 40 organizations.
Wow, that's incredible.
One of the new programs that I think is very exciting is for young women. And we have a series of lectures. Last week, I attended one. I've been not young anymore, but...
Oh, you're always young.
little gray hair never hurt a crowd. But our speaker dealt with intuition. And it was a very interesting conversation she was having with the women who were there about how women need to trust their intuition. And she differentiated that from emotional decision-making and logical decision-making. I think the crowd was very pleased with what she had to offer, but it's just an example of how Regina and her staff try to understand what are the current needs of the community and find programs or financing or coalitions that help make that possible.
That's your young professionals forum,
yes,
correct?
Yes, our young women's forum.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's great. And so you have a big event coming up on February 9th here in Phoenix that we want everyone to come to, not just women. We want men to join us at the your annual tribute to leadership. It's the 24th annual, if I'm correct,
yes.
On February 9th at the Monta Lucia, the Omni, which I'm very excited and Karen, very proud to be co-chairing the event with one of my good friends, Debbie Gaby. And we're excited and we want to fill the house because we do know it's one of the your single largest fundraising event for the year. So it really helps you continue all these programs and the great work you're doing and the Meals on Wheels and et cetera, et cetera. So share with us about how many women and organizations will be celebrating on February 9th.
Maybe we could talk about first about how we have this prestigious set of judges.
Oh, yes. Okay. Very good, Jen. Yes, the process of selection. Sure. Let's go there.
I would love to. So this is the 24th annual Tribute to Leadership. The YWCA was one of the first organizations in the Valley to really focus on women's leadership and recognizing women in a in an independent selection committee fashion. So this year, we were very fortunate. Our selection committee was chaired by Judge Roxanne Song Ong, who was a former honoree and who was one of the first, who was the first female presiding judge in the City of Phoenix courts. Mm. And she brought onto her committee an amazing group of women, Marlene Klotz Collins, who's done work in our community for decades, Cassandra Mason Motz, who is very well known in the city of Phoenix and continues to serve on more committees than I can even tell you. We also,
the co-chairs have nothing to do with the honoring. Let me just put that disclosure out there.
But amazing. And Deanna Villanueva Saucedo from the community colleges and Dee Dee Devine, who is the fabulous, fabulous CEO of Native American Connections. So this is a tough group. So the seven women and four organizations that were chosen really are stellar. And everything about the event, the honorees, focuses on our mission of eliminating racism and empowering women. So it's an entire program and series and day where we highlight those women and organizations in our community that live out our mission, that have in their past and continue to do it every day and into the future. So we are thrilled, Joanne and Debbie, that you are going to be our co-chairs, and we would definitely love to fill the house. And you will go away from the day really feeling inspired. I know a lot of people have talked in the last week about the Golden Globes and how they felt inspired. And that was amazing for all of us, I think, as women and professionals in the community. This is a way where you'll be able to learn from short videos and information about women next door to you, down the street, in the city next door, women who are doing amazing things that you then will walk out of the Mauna Lucia and the next day, and you will realize that because of the work that these women have done, we all are where we are. So it's incredibly, incredibly inspirational. And we are thrilled to be able to honor them.
That is great. And I know if you could share too, the different categories so that in the future, I know too, we always look for people to nominate others for these great awards and accolades and wonderful things that people do, not doing it to earn an award.
Certainly. So again, all of the categories focus on our mission. So I'm going to start off with advocacy, and that's another program hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about later. Advocacy is a really broad category. So we tend to get a large number of applications for this one, and it's one that the selection committee really spent a great deal of time on. And nominations were so amazing. There are actually two honorees. Mm. So the first honoree is Dr. Maria Harper Marinick, who many of you may know is the chancellor of our fabulous Maricopa Community College system. What you may not know is that Dr. Harper Marinick actually came here as a Fulbright scholar. She's from the Dominican Republic and has done work in the community colleges that is amazing. We have such a gem here. My heart is really with the community colleges, having worked there for a while. But what our colleges provide to individuals, students, and their families is really unsurpassed. It's always in the top five community colleges around the country when you look at different ratings.
Well, aren't we the largest?
And we are the largest
community college system in the country. And very proud to say I took classes from Mesa Community College and Phoenix College.
My two kiddos have done the same. Yeah, actually, while they were in high school, those dual enrollment credits, absolutely.
And just the innovation and the work, and I think much of it is due to Dr. Harper Marinick's leadership. She also serves on a wide range of community other programs in the community. She was honored as an Athena a couple of years ago. Just really a woman who, in terms of advocacy around education, is just stellar. I mean, really exciting. Our second advocacy honoree is Christy Moore. Christy has done work across the Valley. Most recently, she was the CEO of Valley Leadership, which I know many of your listeners know is one of the premier leadership programs. Christy left that to start a small organization called Social Spin. And Social Spin is very unique in terms of advocacy. She is reframing how we think about laundromats. And you really have to hear her story. It's so articulate. Her, as a young woman, she grew up in poverty and her family spent a lot of time in laundromats. Mm-hmm. And recently she had the opportunity to go back to one and said, "This, what is this? Why are we not looking at this space?" And she is really transforming the space. And then there's a workforce development component as well. So just amazing, amazing and unique and different from anything that you'll ever hear. And then Rita Riddle-Bigler is our first responder. And Rita is a paramedic and a firefighter with the City of Phoenix. And again, we're so proud, the City of Phoenix. Last year, we were able to honor the fire chief, Kara Kalkbrenner, first female fire chief in the City of Phoenix, only fire chief in a large metropolitan area, even close to the size of Phoenix. Amazing women.
And then just have to have a brag moment there because we are the fifth largest city in the country to also have a female police chief with Jerry Williams, and the largest city in the country to have both run by women. So kudos.
And by the way, Jerry is a former honoree.
Right. I knew that.
To women.
Oh, I love
just
it.
Just amazing.
So you knew it before she was really it.
Yeah. we honored her early on.
Yeah.
Tiffany Fisher is our military honoree. Tiffany is still serving in the Army for all of us and has done a lot of work with a group called Red, White, and Blue, which does work around individuals who are recently retired and really trying to work through the web of services for military and their families. Just amazing young woman. Dr. Elsie Moore is our racial justice honoree. Dr. Moore has been at ASU for more than 40 years. Mm-hmm. Her story, we could take more than the hour to tell you her story. Grew up in the South, was the first young woman to go to a segregated school. And at ASU is currently the director of the School of Social Transformation. And her research around race relations, social justice, racial justice is really unsurpassed and continues to do the work every single day. And I'm actually going to ask Jan to talk about Kathy Peckman, who is our Dorothy Willey honoree, which is a very, very unique and special category for the YWCA.
Actually, the we call it the Willey. In honor of Dorothy Willey, who was one of our champions. She helped keep this YWCA afloat for many decades. And wasn't she president nationally?
Yes. She was a national officer.
The national officer for the YWCA. And she lived long enough to know that this is the highest honor that our YWCA can give. And she was our guest for a couple of years before she was unable to continue. But actually, you know more about Kathy than I do. So why don't you talk about Kathy? I talked about Dorothy.
But it is the premier award, really.
Yes.
It is an amazing. And we this year, we're honoring Kathy Peckman. Kathy Peckman is a senior vice president with National Bank of Arizona. And Kathy was on our board, served in a number of leadership roles, and really epitomizes someone who, as a board member, went above and beyond to support our programs, particularly financial education, as a longtime banker. But the other thing about Kathy is that even after her board service ended, she continued to work with us in our financial education program, assisting in terms of fundraising, assisting us in looking for new and qualified volunteers and getting the word out. And beyond the YWCA, Kathy has served on a number of different housing boards. Her passion is really around financial education, but particularly financial education coupled with potential and future homeownership. And she's been an excellent representative, as has National Bank, has been incredibly supportive of our programs over the year. And then our last honoree, Jenny Poon, who I know has been on your show. Jenny is our corporate community service honoree. And many of you know Jenny because she was the founder of Cahoots, which is a co-working space. They have two locations in Phoenix. But beyond that, I think what you see in Jenny is this constant, constant willingness and just spirit to really bring up other entrepreneurs, particularly women. And it's just, I don't know when, if she ever sleeps. She's also a young mom, and just her energy around wanting everyone to succeed is amazing and is just, I think, the epitome in terms of serving your community, having that entrepreneurial bent, and being in the corporate world. She brings all those things together. So we're thrilled to honor all of these women.
And you have some corporate honorees as well. And share a little bit about the four companies that you'll be, you know, awarding those to that afternoon.
We do. We a couple of years ago wanted to really highlight those community and corporate supporters that had been with us for a number of years. So again, focusing on our programs and our mission, the City of Phoenix is our Women's Empowerment honoree. And we already talked about the police chief, the fire chief. But in addition to that, there are six other city departments that are either led or have deputy directors who are women. Half of our city council are now women.
Wow. Yeah, 50%.
And it's just, it's been a huge impact.
Remember that we voted in the equal pay ordinance
yes.
by the City of Phoenix. And I was so proud to testify in front of that meeting. And
that
just
is,
a kudos.
As I understand, that equal pay was headed by a young woman named
Kate Gallego.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's Councilwoman Kate Gallego.
It's an amazing, we are very proud to honor the city in that role because they really have, I think it's one thing for a municipality to talk about these aspects, but when you look at the city and really get down to the numbers and the data, they're really doing it. I mean, they are showing, and there's some teeth, if you recall, as Joanne said, from testifying, I was there as well. There are some real specific measurements in that. So it's not only equal pay, just tell us, you have to really show us. So we're excited. Right.
And I encourage on that moment, the women that are listening, I know we have so many women in our fantastic community that talk about, you know, I'm pro women and I do this and I want this. But I'll have to tell you, the day that we testified and the day that we were there, disappointed in seeing the lack of turnout
really?
Of all these women that say, I believe in this, I do this. This is really? Because when we needed you.
Where were you?
Right. So please, when you have those opportunities, and it's not even that you have to speak, just show
represent.
Up.
Yeah.
Just show up. If you're going to talk the talk, then walk the walk. And I must say, I was very surprised that day to see very few of us, as I was expecting to see a number of us. So those initiatives, and kudos again to the city and to the Y for being there as well. Because I think right now we're in some turbulent times. And, you know, as I said today at the East Valley Women's Meeting this morning, our voices need to be utilized and heard in a constructive, positive way. You know, appropriate way. But these are just some of the things too. And I also encourage women to nominate people for awards. Mm. These are some great women that, you know, next year, obviously, because I co-chaired, I wasn't going to nominate because I'm like, oh, there'll be controversy, you know, if my person really, you know. But there are some fantastic women I already know I'm going to submit. And ladies, does it take time to nominate? Yes. Do you have to put this on your schedule? Yes. Do you have to look at due dates? Yes.
Yes.
But if you pre-plan and start putting those together, it's not this last minute, oh my gosh, I'm on 30-minute countdown. Now I have to rush it. You know, it should be something that you get excited about. Because I know when I've done other nominations and I get excited about it and I want to tell that story. So I know there's others too in the corporate.
So in... Dignity Health, we're honoring with our Senior Champions Award, and you're all very familiar with Dignity. They do some amazing programs for seniors. If you have a senior in your life and you're not sure, just take a spin through Dignity's website. We're also doubly excited about Dignity because, as you may know, many of their top executives and their CEO, both here as well as from a larger parent company, are both women who we've honored in the past as well. Freeport MacMoran is our financial empowerment honoree. Freeport has done a range of programs, not only in the U.S., but around the world, typically coupled with areas where they are a large employer. They have a Dream Builder program that's pretty amazing that focuses on women entrepreneurs. So we're excited about Freeport. And then Medtronic.
Before you go to Medtronic, mm-hmm. could I just weigh in on Freeport?
Mm-hmm.
It used to be Phelps Dodge.
Right.
Oh.
Now, the first president of the American YWCA was Grace Dodge, mm-hmm. who was the daughter of the founder of Phelps Dodge.
Ah, I love the mm-hmm. history.
Isn't that a wonderful, right here in Phoenix?
Right.
And so I just wanted
so
to
so many Phoenix
that.
Connections that yeah. people don't realize we are the Kevin Bacon City.
I love it. That's great. Yep. Oh,
we are. And the last one is Medtronic. And a lot of people, Medtronic makes a whole range of different types of medical devices. They have a large presence here, and they are advancing and mentoring young professionals. Medtronic has a range of programs for particularly young women who are moving through their company. And we actually heard at one of our original meetings from a young woman who had been in that program. And she talked about the impact and the value of having her employer say, I understand that this is an exciting time for you and you're in a field that maybe there aren't many other women. And here is what we're going to do in terms of mentoring, in terms of connections, in terms of networking here in the workplace. So it's a wonderful, wonderful group of individuals and corporations that we're honoring. And we're excited that the individual honorees now join over 200 alumni of women across the valley that we've joined.
Is that amazing? So 10:30 to 1 p.m.,
yes.
an afternoon of fun and great support for our community for eliminating racism and, you know, bringing women to light and empowering them, which is so important, and meeting these fabulous honorees and in a room full of men. They're welcomed, as I said, to join all the amazing women that'll be their past honorees. Would I say future honorees?
Yes.
They don't
yes.
know. They'll be in attendance and have always been a great supporter of this event annually. And I know that it's gone from a dinner to a lunch to a dinner to a lunch again this year, which I think is so terrific. And look forward to hopefully a sellout would really put the icing on the cake. So,
especially now, I think a lot of, sometimes I think in everything that's happening, as you alluded to, Joanne, where people aren't sure what they can do. We would love for you to come out and support us and learn more about us. Sometimes we get confused with other organizations or people don't know quite what we do. But I think what we really want, if you think about the mission, eliminating racism and empowering women, isn't that something we can all get behind today? And we really should get behind today. And we do it through some very specific programs, but we also do it through our collaboration and through our efforts around advocacy, around really ensuring that people know what's going on in our community and how can you be involved and engage with us. And there's a range of ways for people to do that.
I wanted to weigh in here about what you were saying, Regina, about the Golden Globes and how that was turned from a laughing kind of award program to a very serious look at sexism, sexual harassment in the industry. What I wanted to weigh in is there's a lot of research now that talks about the need for a critical mass, mm-hmm. whether it's the Women's March on Washington, D.C., or whether it's the protests at the Capitol, whether it's what you were talking about, people showing up to City Hall when there are items on the agenda that would benefit women. We need to have this critical mass because then that's when the change begins to take place. And that's why we would love to have a sellout at Tribute to Women.
Because and it goes back to Joanne's point, too, at when you were appearing in court, you know, to even though people didn't need to come to speak, just showing that representation and having people there
engagement.
Makes all it's engagement. Absolutely. It's all about that. So absolutely. Continue to tell us how we can get involved then with YWCA. I'm embarrassed to admit that this is my first opportunity to really hear about all the great work that you're doing. And I've been in the Valley for 30 something years. So
it's one of Phoenix's best kept secrets sometimes.
We are. And we, you know, Karen, we love hearing that because it shows that you are interested and want to know more about us. So certainly you can always go to our website, ywcaaz.org. But a couple of examples, I'm going to go back to my financial education. So when we think about empowering women, one of the ways that women can become empowered is to become financially stable. Poverty, we all know in our country, across the country, is rampant, even though particularly in Phoenix, everyone said, oh, the recession's over and the jobs are back and things are better. Well, I need to tell you, based on the research that we do every day, it's not better for everybody. It's better for some individuals, yep. but across the board, it's not. So we know that by empowering women financially where they are, that helps our entire community. When we think about eliminating racism, we're very excited. We do a program called Stand Against Racism. And Stand Against Racism is a YWCA USA program that started about 12 years ago. We've been doing it for 3 years. And what we encourage individuals to do is have a conversation about race. We will, it's going to be at the end of April. The specific dates will be up on our website, but it's a conversation with your family, your colleagues, your neighbors, a facilitated conversation. We'll provide a trained facilitator mm-hmm. for you. Take an hour over your lunch or breakfast or get a brown bag. And there are a series of questions that really get to the heart of how we think about race and racism. And we know that last year, it was very interesting. The first year we did it, we had, I think, about 10 partners. We had 15 last year. Our goal is to be closer to 30. So we are really looking for community organizations, corporations, neighbors, anyone to be part of it. We'll help you provide the information. And then we just ask you to help us complete a short survey. And we know this is just the tip of the iceberg, but if we don't start the conversation in a safe environment with a facilitator, and the questions, there are only about 4 questions. And when you first look at them, you think, oh, this isn't going to be, what is this? Right. What am I doing this? But the power behind these conversations are amazing. The feedback we've gotten from groups is that it helped them as a group then to continue the conversation. Again, in a safe, non-judgmental way. But if there was ever a time that we need to start having those conversations, I don't know when it is, if it's not today.
Well, and racism exists in so many different ways. Yes. And you know, I'll share a personal pivotal moment, if you want to call it, because they say you have 9 to 11 of those where you remember where you are, what you were wearing, and the whole thing. And it was, and when it happened, it was not a negative thing at the time that the person was understanding what she was doing. So I was an Irish dancer from the time I was in 3rd grade until probably 8th grade. And I Irish danced everywhere. I mean, at Disney World, they were throwing me money, my parents said, because I danced while I was waiting in line. And I loved it. And I competed in feshes all around the country, in Dayton and Cleveland and New York and in Detroit. I never won first place. And I still, to this day, I'll share this, I still have that costume in my closet as a reminder to me, okay? I never won first place. I practiced and I was like, okay, what am I doing wrong? I would go after, tell me this, tell me that, or whatever. And I would lose first place. The closest one was by 0.001 of a percent, okay? And I have some of my, because they give you your scores after and they tell you who came first, second, whatever. In high school, I got into cheerleading, dancing, so left Irish dancing. So now I'm a senior in high school, and I run into one of the mothers who used to carpool us to Irish dancing, and she ran into me, and she's like, oh my gosh, Joanne, do you still Irish dance? And I said, oh no, I gave that up, you know, when I went to high school. And she's like, and I said, yeah. She goes, oh, you were always so good. You were so good at it. I said, yeah, but I said, you know, it just really bummed me out. I always won second place, never won first place. And she looked at me point blank, high school kid, adult woman, and said to me, Joanne, you were by far the best dancer there, but they were going to never let a little Mexican girl win mm-hmm. an Irish fash.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, it was, I was like, what? And I go, what did you just say to me? Like, first of all, I really appreciate that she was telling me the truth and that, first of all, that I was really good and that I should have been first place. So I was really happy. But then I went back to look at the scores mm-hmm. sure. and who had won.
Sure.
Maureen O'Connell, Heidi O'Sullivan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the names just good continued like that. Names. Right. And I had an Irish name as well. My father really? Was Irish, was Cullen, but my appearance was what got sure. the judges. And I was like, wow. And that was my first impact of, I was in 4th grade, people. I was like, yeah. like, but they couldn't see past this Hispanic appearance girl winning an Irish Fest because your pictures were taken. You were put up on the, you know, poster board or whatever as the first place person. And that was a wow moment for me in high school to be like, one, I just appreciated she was honest with me. I don't know if she should have really said that, but
it was the truth.
Yeah. And I just looked at it and I think to this day, and I still have that costume in my closet to this day as a reminder to say, wow. And again, that was racism, not how people think.
Right. It was almost unconscious or implicit.
Right.
Right.
My brother-in-law is a Chinese-American, Asian-American. His parents were born and raised in one of the provinces in China. And one day he told me a story that just chilled me to the bone. He said he was on the bus and getting off to go somewhere, and a tourist came up to him and said, "Do you speak English?"
Oh, my gosh.
Because
of his appearance, right?
Yep. Because of the appearance.
And it's just, it's very, so racism, it doesn't have to be blatant in a march or people burning flags, or it can be just very simple and very little, but highly impactful.
Absolutely.
And what the great work that the YWCA is, because sometimes people don't even realize, like, it probably took me a few days to realize that was racism. Like, I mean, it took me because I'm a high school kid, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, something is not adding up here. Something, but I think a lot of people are put in those situations that they don't realize it's racism.
And I'm fascinated by these conversations that the YWCA then encourages us to have, these stand against racism forums, really. What a brilliant idea to be able to, as you mentioned, be in the safety and the comfort of the people that are kind of in your inner circle, have a facilitator come in, am I explaining this right? And then just have these four or five questions. Yes. Because when I think of racism, I think of the blatant, purposeful, you are different from me, and therefore you're wrong or bad or whatever. But as we're describing here, just by mere appearance, whether it's intentional or not, we can begin to make an instrumental shift by having these conversations with just those two stories. Like, I'm now touched by these two stories that you shared and can continue to build up my resiliency around acceptance. I'm thrilled. I just love this idea of these conversations.
It's amazing because we have one organization that, you know, so the first year they did it and they said it was impactful. And they said it's a very diverse organization. Most of them are women, but they said the second year was so, it was much deeper. And what they learned about their colleagues, because the second year it was more about, well, growing up, this is what happened. And this is what I think informs my, how I act or how I relate or how I do the work that we all do.
Perception.
So it's very amazing. So we would love to have people have those conversations. And as I said, we do a facilitator training. Many organizations have their own facilitators, but what we want to do is encourage that conversation. And as part of that, I want to mention just a couple of other, so that's part of our advocacy work.
Right.
We are very, very excited. And this is just going up on our website in the next couple of days, but one of our board members is Felicia Rodolini, who's very involved in our community, and we're thrilled. She chairs our advocacy committee. She's also part of a group in town of attorneys called the Thurgood Marshall Inn of Court. They are working with us to bring an author at the end of March. His name is Gilbert King, and he has written a book about a horrific event that happened in South Florida in the late 50s, early 60s, about a group of young Black men that were really targeted unjustly for a crime. And it talks about the NAACP working, Thurgood Marshall's role. Just, it's an amazing book. So please look at our website for that too. We really want, and we're doing it in coordination, not only with the Inn of Court, but with the ASU Law School. Mm-hmm. And it'll be held downtown at the ASU Law School. And so we're very excited. So as part of our advocacy efforts, it's not just the Stand Against Racism programming, but also collaborating and bringing in authors and individuals so that we, again, can begin to think about, as you said, Karen, how do we have those conversations and really just to raise people's awareness in a little different way versus, social media where we're yelling at each other online or even not online in, you know, in grocery stores and in all kinds of places. But again, to raise that awareness and have those conversations in a little different way. So we are going to continue that work in a number of other ways, but those are two of our major events that we'll be holding.
All of this wonderful programming costs money. And one of the roles that I've now taken on is I chair the Leadership Giving Council. And we are part of an effort to increase our endowment and to fund, continue funding at the highest level of these wonderful programs that Regina has described. And so I feel very privileged as a senior citizen to have the privilege of chairing this group of wonderful people. And our goal is to reach out to people we know as well as organizations that might be interested in helping fund some of the programs that we do.
Well, Regina, talk a little bit too about how you can become a member of the YWCA, and membership is fantastic. I know I appreciate mine and the invitations I get, and there are different levels of membership. So you don't have to, you know, people don't wig out. There's memberships at all price all range, levels. Right?
Yes, thank you. We, you know, it's interesting. Our director of development, Bridget Costello, is just amazing, does amazing work for us in the community. And so a couple of years ago, we would introduce ourselves and people would say, oh, I'm a member. I've been a member for years. And we would say, well, we haven't had membership. You might be thinking about the YMCA, and we love them, and they do fabulous work in the community. We're the YWCA, so our tagline
is swimming pool. Is,
right. And we're doing it without the swimming pool.
That's right. It's all about the W. So someday we're going to do a big event at the W Hotel.
Yeah, it's all about the W.
It's all about the W. So we initiated a membership. We start at $50. We also have student memberships, a little less than that, 50 all the way up to 5,000. And with the various levels of membership, there are free tickets, reduced tickets, a whole range of different opportunities. Plus, you get on our mailing list. And so very targeted emails about our programs, about what's happening, about our partners. We're not going to bombard you with emails. We're not going to be one of those where you go, not another one from them. We really try to be very, very conscientious. But again, as part of that membership, you really are joining a collective and you are helping us to provide, as Jan so eloquently stated and Joanne, these programs that really do impact the community in a variety of ways. So we are excited about membership. It's very easy to go on our website. There's a drop-down menu on the top about membership. And again, it's, you know, from $50 on up. The other thing I'm very, very proud of, and I'm sure most nonprofit CEOs will tell you this, but we are incredible penny pinchers. Mm-hmm. So all of our programming, we are very, very conscientious, which is also why we're so serious about collaborating. There's no reason if another organization in town does something really, really well, we're going to collaborate with them. We're not going to say, oh, we should do that. So all of our programming, all of our larger lectures, when we bring women and men into town, those are almost always collaborations. That's why the Gilbert King is perfect. It fits right into our advocacy, eliminating racism, empowering women, to work with a prestigious organization such as the Inn of Court. We have other mm-hmm. partners to be part of the ASU Law School, to be holding it at their venue. Those are what we really hold dear, because at the end of the day, we know that by impacting individuals within our community, that then creates that ripple effect. And I love what Joanne said about women showing up, not only showing up to our events, but showing up for each other around programs, around issues, around opportunities. We, if not now, when, we have to work together, I think, as individuals in our community to really ensure that elected officials hear what we're saying and that we empower those younger women, you know, who really need that, who really are focused, who really, in some ways, probably aren't seeing us in the best light. So we are so committed and serious to doing that in our community.
And that's important work. First, I just want to go back to membership real quick and say you get a really cool YWCA hat.
Yes.
Excellent.
I love you. Okay, I love it. It's all about that for me.
Right?
And love that hat. So just one of the perks of the many perks that you get. And then you really can say I'm a member of the YWCA. But, you know, I think too, the programs that you have for the young women's, so important because these are our future leaders. As I tell people all the time, these are people going to be taking care of us. So let's treat them well. Let's train them, if you want to say, or give them insight to what we know failed, worked when we were leaders. And that failure is good. You know, with failure brings you success. So don't be scared of it. Don't shy away from it. Be more, what I tell people is that be more failure tolerant. Because I think everybody wants to be first, or I win, or, you know, whatever that is. And especially with awards like this and so many other great awards that we have in the Valley, what I remind women is that there's no cost to nominate someone. You're not paying for anything. Yes, you pay with your time and your talent that you put into those, but that is something you can do. It's like what I used to say when I worked in corporate America and reminded my team, recognition is free, people. So,
and it creates bonds that you could not do any other way.
Right. And it's so imperative and so important to give recognition, to thank someone, whether it was the smallest gesture, but it just impacted your day that, wow, thank you for doing that.
I'm a Methodist from way standing, and John Wesley once said, give all you can, whenever you can, to whomever you can, as ever you can.
Wow. So that's right up there with Mother Teresa as a Catholic who says, give until it hurts.
Yeah.
And I've told her a few many nights, it hurts. It hurts a lot. It needs to stop hurting. But no, you do. You remember those. And those are so important, especially now, you know, just with the, somebody asked me the other day for an article, do I have a favorite quote or do I have a favorite saying? And I said, well, yes, and I've had it for years and years, but it's Maya Angelou's. You know, people will remember what you said, people will remember what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel.
So true.
And I think people sometimes, in college, I did a study on, and it's so funny, it was on customer service. And these were the days when you can go to the airport and, of course, get anywhere you wanted. There was no TSA. There was no anything. I sat there at the customer service desk when people were walking in. It's amazing how people act. And some people are just not all with it. But this, I remember watching, and it's the same customer service person at the desk. And this guy comes up and he slams down his, I missed my flight. I need to get on the next flight and blah, 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 blah. And I want to see a supervisor. Oh, and, okay. Dude, you missed the flight, not the customer service or whatever. And she's looking at, and she's trying to be as positive or whatever. And she's like, okay, we can get you on the next flight. And that additional ticket price is $926,000. Ah, again, you know, crazy. Then you have the gentleman who walked in. Hi, I'm a bonehead. I completely missed my flight. It's my fault. I've never done this before. I have no idea. Like, what do you have to charge me? I'm trying to get to this spot. I'm trying, oh, sir, we can put you on the next flight. You'll just be wait. You'll be on the standby. There's no charge. I'm like, gee, when you act crazy, you're going to pay for that. When you act calm or just in that position, it's all in the presentation. And I think sometimes we forget that in that moment, that be smart and think about, you know, and I think sometimes too, even watching old shows with women and their portrayal, you know, and even today, even what, you know, you're getting emotional. What is that?
I love that Native American saying, don't judge me until you've walked a mile in my moccasins.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the things that the YWCA has given me over the decades that I've been involved. To go out to the senior center, for instance, and see them gathering together and sharing a good meal, or to learn that one of our drivers has found one of our Wheels on Meals person ill and has called the doctor or the ambulance, to go to the professional young women's group and to see these wonderful young women who are refighting some of the battles that we thought we'd taken care of decades ago. And so that's why this mission is so important to me, to not just for me, but for my nieces, for my sisters, for my friends, so that week two can say we empowered women and we helped eliminate racism.
Yes. Jan, can you speak to the corporate end of things since you're part of this leadership giving council and leading it? Is that correct?
Yes, you can have your $5 for asking me that.
Oh, very good. Put it towards my membership.
Yeah. I'll give you a hat.
Yes.
We'll give you the hat. I'll give you my hat. I haven't worn it.
How can corporations get involved? Most of our listeners are executive leaders and
entrepreneurs.
Folks and entrepreneurs who are running businesses, and we've found, at least that I've seen over the years that I've been involved in nonprofits, more and more companies and organizations want to get behind and be part of a physical part of what the good world of nonprofit is out there doing. So how can folks get involved?
I think there are two things I know, and Regina can jump in here. The first is that I think that corporations, small and large, businesses small and large, have a much greater sense of responsibility to the community.
Absolutely.
I mean, when I first came here, we had Motorola. That was it. That helped us. And number two is that the more you can personalize what they're giving to, the more they're likely to give.
Perfect. Thank you, Karen, for asking too. So one way is if you want to get involved with Meals on Wheels, you can bring a group out to deliver the meals at lunchtime. So if you want to organize a group of your employees or coworkers and come out to Glendale, we will work with you to ensure that it fits in your time frame. It's a couple of hours. And what you'll see, I think, in that is it's what we say, it's more than a meal. So it's so much more than just going to a door and knocking, and it's really seeing that man or that woman. And the majority of our clients are women. Women live longer. We know that, and tend to, through no fault of their own, many have had some type of economic challenge. So they are using our services. So that's a big part of it. If you are interested in the financial education piece, we are always looking for faculty. We do a fabulous training, and you can commit to work with us. And it's a 4-week program, but you can commit to teaching the week and the topic that you are passionate about. Mm. So it's really, really transformational for you to take that energy and that information and share it with our clients, women and their families. So those are two ways. And then certainly we're always looking for corporate sponsorships for many of our programs. The financial education program, I may have mentioned, but is provided at no cost.
You did mention that.
So
yeah.
We are always looking for partners, and we have, I'll give you a great example. Synchrony Financial here in town is a large call center. They have been a partner for a number of years. It's deep and wide. They have a number of people that teach with us. They also help to sponsor the program. They also work with us in terms of saying, evaluating, and what about this in your program and how can it be better? And they're actually thinking about bringing it to their own employees at some point in time. So there are a range, but I would say the volunteer efforts in a number of ways are really, really powerful. It helps the corporation to get to know who we are and who we serve.
And then I'm going to say, from the fun point of view and the bias point of view, join us on February 9th at the Tribute to Leadership Luncheon at the Omni Monte Lucia and see it all and see the great women being honored in companies and corporations as well as just getting a little taste of a little bit of everything that the YWCA does for so many, for those who have and those who have not, for those who need assistance in educating themselves, whether it be through finances and other areas of eliminating that racism with their program that they have in April and things like that. Just so much to learn and engage and just become a member and get on the email list and you'll be like, wow. And then invite a friend. I always say that. Bring a friend. It's always, or a business colleague or your neighbor. Some of the best women that are part of my groups, they're all neighbors. So, I mean, that's a great thing. Anything before I know we have a few minutes left, that you'd like to share with us, Regina or Jan, on your expertise, your knowledge? Jan, you've been in Phoenix a long time.
Well, the motto of my tiny little company is, you just remember, you cannot not communicate. For even your silence speaks volumes. And we are blessed to have this organization serving this community for over 100 years through the leadership of people like this wonderful Dr. Edwards here and our staff at the YWCA. They're amazing people. So join us.
Mm-hmm. And how can they get in touch with you if you want to give the website again and maybe your local phone number?
Certainly. Again, our website is ywcaaz.org. We're also on Facebook. If you just look at, just go ahead and put in the search bar, Arizona YWCA Phoenix, and we'll pop up. We are also, same thing, YWCAPHX on Twitter, Instagram, all those good things. And we would love to have you interact with us. Our local phone number is 602-258-0990.
I like that in tandem.
I like that. I know. We'll have to work on that, Karen.
Yes. And we'd love it. As Joanne said, we'd love to have you join us on February 9th. We will, in addition to highlighting each of these women, obviously tell you a little bit about our programs. And we're very excited that AZTV7 has been a great partner this year. Danielle Williams from the Arizona Daily Mix is going to be our MC.
Oh,
we are thrilled that she will be joining us. And AZTV7 has been creating the videos that you will see about each of our honorees. So they have been a fabulous partner. We're very, very, very
And
fortunate.
Just hosted Regina and I Friday before to be on the show and talk a little bit about the upcoming event and all the great things happening there. So that was fun with a great media partner. So it's always great to have those relationships and those. So I'm looking forward to a great afternoon and a great...
We also want to thank, as Joanne said, Joanne and Debbie Gaby are our co-chairs. Debbie Gaby Charities is our presenting sponsor, along with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona, who has been also, both have been longtime supporters. And really, as a nonprofit, none of us could do this work without sponsors and folks who really have supported us through the years and supported our work. It's just so gratifying to have that belief, and we really cherish that and treasure it. And so, as I said, we do, as an organization, work very hard to ensure that that trust in us is well-placed. And that's why I think we've been here for 105 years. It'd be great if our mission were to go away. Particularly the eliminating racism aspect of it. But we know that, again, as we keep saying, you know, today, now more than ever, please join us. And, you know, we will find a way for you to be engaged with us, because this work is important and there's much to be done.
Well, I think, as Jan said, too, I mean, nothing can happen in all of this without the great sponsors and corporate partners and individuals and even small business partners. Again, you don't have to be the multi-million dollar operation at all.
No.
You can be the single business owner, small, handy person out of their truck can be a part of the YWCA. The mission is inclusive to everyone. So that's what makes it so exciting and so great. So I want to say thank you to both of you for taking the time to being with us here today, for sharing so much great and valuable information about the YWCA. Karen, I'm glad you're excited to hear.
I am. I'm overwhelmed in a great way. And I'm thinking of all the other women who've been on our show. I need to find out how many of them are YWCA members.
Oh,
and if they're not, poke and prod and encourage them to come alongside me. So we'll have to talk about that after we're off air, because it's an organization, like I said, I've known about the YWCA, but not in my backyard. I knew about it nationally. I didn't know how it could be of benefit to me and how I can be of benefit and in service to you. So I'm just tickled that you are here today. Thank you so much for sharing your time and your history.
Well, I just want to say thank you for listening to Ladies Leadership Circle in partnership with Phoenix Business Radio and Business Radio X, as we hope today's show connected, inspired, and led you to continue to be and do your best. Thank you, Karen Nerwicki, and I'm Joanne Holland, and make it a great day.